Father's Day, and that's brought some families together. It's also causing us to lose a few of our folks to Father's Day celebrations elsewhere. But to our guests, again, thank you for coming and sharing this time of worship with us. Jack, we appreciate your announcement about Tyler and Kelsey this morning. You just stepped all over my announcement, but yours is better. But my announcement was, it was a year ago this week that they came to begin their work with us, and we want to congratulate them, congratulate you on that, and we appreciate and love you and thank you for your service with us. So there are two reasons to hug Kelsey this morning. Just be gentle with that hug. Okay, good enough, good enough. Speaking of some congratulations, I learned that Ken and Gladys celebrated a 71st, is that correct, anniversary. Y'all must have married it right out of kindergarten. We love you and appreciate you and appreciate your commitment to the Lord and your commitment to each other. That's great. That's great. This morning I'd like to share a lesson with you called Turning Hearts. It'll be an interruption in our theme from Philippians, but that's all right. On Father's Day, I wanted to do a Father's Day lesson. So happy Father's Day. What's the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day? Well, 30 years ago I knew the difference. The difference was the busiest long-distance circuit day in history was always on Mother's Day. And the most collect calls on Father's Day. Now, that's not true with our wireless systems today. Maybe you'll figure out what the new difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day is. This morning, I'm going to share with you some thoughts on John the Baptist and a phrase that's used about him relative to turning hearts. So I'm going to begin with a question. In what way is your dad like John the Baptist? Maybe he wore camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. Was your dad a unique dresser? Unique's putting it very kindly. Did your father enjoy eccentric foods? Was he into locusts and wild honey? Did your father like camping out? Was he a mountain man? You know, did he live in the wilderness like John did? Or when a little six-year-old boy got really worried when the question came up about his father being like John the Baptist, and he says, well, I just studied in John the Baptist in Sunday school, and John the Baptist lost his head, and I heard my mommy said, Daddy's about to lose his head, and I'm worried about it. And whatever it is, think about how your dad was like John the Baptist. And then we share our lesson today. There's a curious verse in Luke chapter 1 and verse 17 that I'd like to explore on this Father's Day. And here's the context. An angel appeared to Zechariah to tell him he was going to be a dad. And the son to be born to him was later to be known as John the Baptizer. John the Baptist is what we usually call him. The advanced man of Jesus. And here's what the angel said. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. I'd like to explore that rather obscure verse with you this morning as a Father's Day sermon verse. Now, John's mission was to turn hearts to the fathers of the children and turn the hearts of the disobedient toward the wisdom of the righteous. Where did the angel get these words that he spoke concerning the forthcoming John the Baptist? Well, he got them from Malachi. Actually, the very last words in our canonical Old Testaments, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. These are the words. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Those are the very last words of an inspired writer of the Old Testament, Malachi, through the Spirit of God. This is commonly known as the Elijah prophecy. The first Elijah was a prophet of God who prophesied in Israel to turn a spiritually corrupt nation back to Jehovah. But there's going to be a second Elijah. A second Elijah? One like the spirit of the first Elijah. One who was a little eccentric and one whose purpose was to turn hearts, to bring people back in right relationship with God, to prepare the way for God's Messiah. John the Baptizer was to be a new Elijah, to turn the hearts back to God, including turning the hearts of the fathers to their children. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus makes clear that he identifies John the Baptist as this new Elijah in fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy. So Malachi's prophecy, the Elijah to come, is John the Baptist. And his purpose was to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. Can we agree with all of John the Baptizer's eccentric behaviors? John's mission was to turn hearts to prepare the people for Jesus. I submit to you, that is the mission of fathers today. To turn and to mold hearts and to get them ready to meet Jesus. Get them ready to submit to Jesus. Let's talk about that this morning. How do we do this? How do we turn the hearts of the fathers to their children? Now, I'm a guy, so I resemble this comment, okay? We guys have this in our mind. Our mission in life is to bring home the bacon, right? That's our purpose. That's our mission in life. We're to be good providers for home. We tend to put blinders on our eyes, and we think about that bringing home the bacon, of course, as being financial support. And we need to support our families. Scripture tells if a man will not work, he's and supply his needs for his family, he's no worse or no better off than an unbeliever. We understand that. We need to be providers. But we better be more than providers in a material sense. Now, bringing home the bacon is important. And guys, whether we cook it or not is not the question. Sometimes our wife cooks it, but we will certainly eat it, won't we? We have no problem with that one. My dad completely fit the stereotype of the man who brought home the bacon. He worked full-time. Mom was generally a housewife, but worked part-time in jobs as I got a little older, and she didn't need to corral me quite as much as she used to. We might say it this way. My father provided the meat and potatoes at home, and Mom put the gravy on it, financially speaking. So guys, it's not wrong to bring home the bacon. That's not the wrong thing to do. It's just not the only thing to do. You hear what I'm saying? Part of our role as fathers is to be like a John the Baptist to our children, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Being a dad is more than being a provider, physically speaking. It's that, but it's more than that. Dads have to be big picture people. And don't get so focused on the bacon that you forget the task is bigger than the bacon. Family is about people. And finances are necessary. But people are primary. So don't lose the big picture, dads, of what you're about. Bring home the bacon. That's great. But don't just bring home the bacon. Years ago, Focus on the Family Ministry had a motto, turning hearts toward home. It wasn't a bad motto, because that was really John's mission. Turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children to the fathers. By the way, today, Focus on the Family's motto is helping families thrive. Being a father is about having your heart turned toward your children. And it's very natural. I know when I first became a dad, and this little baby's placed in my arms, I called it the China doll syndrome. Did any of you guys have that syndrome? You know, like, if I turn it wrong, is it going to break? You know what I'm talking about? Not knowing exactly what to do. But thankfully, God provided me a wife who knew what to do and trained me how to take care of kids. And I became a little better at it. I was never great at it, but I became a little better at it. God equips us. Being a father is turning your heart towards your children. And it's a very natural thing to do, but it also needs to be an intentional thing. Because our mission is beyond bringing home the bacon, remember? The mission of John the Baptist included turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, and we call this spiritual leadership. When you and your wife work as a team as spiritual leaders at home, dads, I want to tell you something. You have a role that you cannot delegate. And you dare not delegate. Let me share with you some ways to exercise that spiritual leadership. Some ways to man up, if you will, in the responsibility of spiritual leadership at home. To turn hearts in godly ways. Turn hearts of your children to the fathers and the fathers to the children and all of your hearts to God. Number one, be a godly man. You can't lead others to where you are not yourself. By the way, never ask me to lead a tour of the Holy Land. You know why? I have studied about it. I've looked at maps. I have an academic knowledge of the Holy Land. I have never been there. Don't hire me to be the tour guide. I wouldn't qualify. I'm not the guy for that job. You don't hire someone, quote, hire a father to be a spiritual leader who's not a Christian. He needs to be a believer in Jesus. You need to have a godly worldview. See the world through the lens of the Word of God. You exercise godly priorities. You don't just come to church for Father's Day. Your children see you read from Scripture. They hear you pray. Though you know you're far from perfect, you live the Christian life. You're trying to do better for the Lord. Our children catch the faith as well as have the faith taught to them. Have you noticed that? And sometimes they listen to what we do far more than we'd like them to. We wish they'd listen to what we say. But they listen to what we do. They copy what we do. Now, you don't have to be perfect to be a godly father and to be a mentor to your children in spiritual leadership. But you do need to be focused and intent and a Christian. Number two, teach your children that turns their hearts to the Lord. Teach your children. Be intentional, even if it's informal. Deuteronomy chapter 6 in the Old Testament, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them in the door frames of your homes and on your gates. The whole point was use media, is what we would say today, right? Use the teachable moment and use media. Fathers and the Israelite nation were to teach their children the commandments of God through everyday life. Now, it's nothing wrong to have an exact instruction time for biblical instruction, like we do in Bible classes, and you can do that at home. But the important thing is you are teaching your children about spiritual principles on a regular basis through the actions and events of life. Find those teachable moments. Impress upon your children the principles of God in those teachable moments. Number three, you can be a spiritual leader in your home, fathers, by reading Scripture to your kids and praying with your kids. Most families have a bedtime ritual for pre-adolescent children. That's a healthy thing. Read preschoolers some Bible stories as a part of their reading. Elementary students can read directly from the Bible. If you use a lower level translation, the children can read to you as well as you reading to the children. And you don't need to preach them a sermon. You might talk about the verse and ask some questions about the verse, but you don't need to preach them a sermon. A time of Scripture reading is meaningful for children. And then pray with them. Praying with your pre-adolescent kids at bedtime is an essential part of your spiritual leadership, because they will learn about prayer from you. Fathers, don't always delegate this to mom. It's okay for mom to do it. I'm not saying moms can't do this, but fathers, don't just hand it over to mom and say, well, I got that done, never have to do that again. That's not spiritual leadership. You need to be involved with praying with your kids and reading Scripture with your kids. Number four, discipline your children. We don't have time to discuss this in detail today, so I'm just going to mention it, but discipline means training them, teaching, correcting, and appropriate physical discipline is included in that. But discipline your children. That's part of exercising spiritual leadership, because God disciplines us, doesn't he? Hebrews chapter 12. This last point is an automatic point, but it still needs to be intentional. Play with your kids. Your kids will learn spiritual leadership from you when you play with them, not just when you pray with them. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Have you learned that? Love is spelled time. I can remember when my son was young and I'd come home from a long day's work and the lazy boy chair was calling my name. You know that feeling? And John said, hey, Dad, let's go out and play some catch. And sometimes I said, oh, I'm just too pooped. But when that better side of me was in charge, I said, yeah, let's go get the balls and the gloves and let's go play some catch. And when he was younger, we'd go out in the backyard. When his arm got a little too strong for the backyard, we went to the ball field, maybe 1,000 feet away, and we played catch. And I value the memories of that. Even though that wasn't maybe my first choice because, A, number one, I'm not highly athletic. And number two, I was tired after the day and I wanted to relax. But you know what? Playing a little catch with my son was important. Play with your kids. And I'm not the perfect father. I didn't do things perfectly. You're probably familiar with this reading, but I think it's worth sharing with you. You may know the song. My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay, and he learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before you knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon and the little boy blue and the man in the room. When are you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You'll know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day and he said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. But he said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. I said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, I'm going to be like him. Well, he came from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a spell? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? I've long since retired and my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you, if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, a little boy blue and the man in the moon. When are you coming home, son? I don't know when. But we'll get together then, Dad. We're going to have a good time then. The other part of the phrase is turn the hearts of the children to your fathers. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. This is a difficult phrase to know for sure how to understand. It's not hard to turn the hearts of the children to your fathers because when you involve yourself with their kids when they're young, you involve yourself with your preschool kids, they want to be with you. They want to play with you. They want your time. They want your attention. But the time they're 10, they want a little less of it. And 12, a little less of it. And 16, none of it. Dads, do your job consistently and do it early. Exercise your spiritual leadership and turn the hearts of your towards your kids, and the kids will return the favor. But turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous is a difficult phrase. It could have more than one interpretation. It may be parallelism. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children is to turn the hearts of those who have been disobedient to God's expectations of leading children and turn their hearts to their children, doing what they're supposed to do as fathers. If that's the case, the interpretation of disobedient is the father who has not been obedient to the call of God to be involved in their children's life. A sin of omission. Or it could be the children themselves are the disobedient ones, and we need to turn them toward righteousness. Either one could be appropriate interpretation. But let's not forget the purpose of being a father. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To make ourselves and our kids ready to open our hearts to Jesus. That's what it's about, right? Yes, it's about bringing home the bacon, but remember, it's more than bringing home the bacon. It's bringing home hearts and connecting them to God. Yes, John the Baptist came to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, and John prepared people for the coming of Jesus. Is not that our role as fathers, to prepare our children to know Christ? Dads, you have a John the Baptist role in the life of your son and your daughter. That doesn't mean that you have to dress like John. It doesn't mean you have to live in the wilderness. And it doesn't mean you have to lose your head. It doesn't mean you have to eat locusts and wild honey. But it does mean you need to prepare them for the way of the Lord. You need to be involved in their lives and turning their hearts toward the Lord and preparing them to receive the Lord. And fathers, nobody else can do that job for you. Nobody. The Bible teacher cannot do that job for you. The preacher can't do that job for you. The elders can't do that job for you. The youth minister cannot do that job for you. Your wife cannot do that job for you. You do that job for you, for your Lord, and for your children. Be their father. Nurture their hearts. Be the godly man. Teach your children. Read scripture with them. Pray with them. Discipline and play with them. Invest in their lives. As a minister, I want to help. Bible class teachers want to help. Tyler wants to help as a youth minister. But nobody else can be dad. Only you can be dad. Let's pray together. Lord, we come before you on this Father's Day, thankful for your work in our lives as a nurturing father. The training and instruction and vision that you cast for us, the discipline that you give, the price you have paid in sacrifice for our fellowship through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, O Lord, for being our Father. And what a privilege to call you Father. Lord, help us in our roles with our children and our grandchildren to turn their hearts toward you and turn our own hearts to you, Father. We need your leadership. We need your strength. We need your forgiveness. We need your power. Lord, life is overwhelming sometimes. We get messed with our priorities. We get things crooked and you want them straight. Help us, Father, turn hearts toward you, beginning with our own. In Jesus we pray. Amen. I believe the fatherhood of God is one of the most powerful metaphors of Scripture. He wants you to be a son or a daughter. He wants you in obedience to Him. He wants you in submission to Him. He wants to have you grow in relationship to Him so you can be more healthy in life and in eternity. God gave His Son and the blood of His Son that we celebrated in the supper this morning, that we can be forgiven, that we can be His children by adoption into His family. But you know, God doesn't force us into His family. He invites us into His family. He invites us through the shed blood of His Son. He invites us through the Word of God, the Scripture. He invites us through His enduring love, but He doesn't force you into Him. He invites you into Him. This morning, if you have not yet yielded your heart in obedience to the gospel of Christ, you can do so confessing Jesus as the Son of God in faith, repenting of sin and saying, I've made a mess of things on my own. I need God in my life to do this right, to do this better. Being baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, where you contact the saving blood of Jesus and your guilt is washed away before God. You rise from the waters of baptism and begin a new life in Christ. That doesn't mean life will be perfect. It will mean it will be lived in partnership with God. And God will make your path smooth, just like John the Baptist made the path smooth for the people to come to know Jesus. You will make the path smooth for others to come to know God. Won't you answer His call? Do what you know is right. Respond in faith and obedience. Let's stand and sing.